Hey guys!
Welcome or welcome back to Likewise Pod. I'm Issa.
And I'm Sam, and we're so excited for another episode this week. We are actually so excited for this topic because we've been kind of like craving doing like more interesting topics again, and like maybe taking a step back from talking about our lives and ourselves so much. And something we used to like some of our favorite episodes have been ones like this where we kind of like explore just a topic we think is interesting to us. Like last year we did like the Where Have the Tweens Gone, and like that was so funny. And so something kind of similar, we're just going to be talking about relatability, the art of relating, and just what it means for things to be relatable.
I think it's so funny that you said, yeah, we want to take a step back from talking about ourselves and our lives, and then here we are talking about relatability.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. But like, I guess just like more of like the, you know, the concept of it. But yeah, I just feel like sometimes we have so many episodes in a row where like we're talking about what's going on in our lives, and it's like, hey, maybe we should just like talk about something else.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm excited for this one, I think, because I mean, we've a lot of times like in my book reviews, LOL, like I'll say like, oh, I like related with this so hard, or like I didn't really get it, like I didn't click with it, blah blah blah. So then I give it like lower stars. Or if I really connect with something, then I'm like, oh my gosh, yes, like this is the best book ever. And then, but like watching movies and stuff, I'm like, I don't need to relate to enjoy it. Like Divergent, relate to no part of it, but I love it. And so I think it's really interesting, like it's a really interesting topic, and like this had me thinking about just all the different kinds of media and just other things that I like and why I like them, or like if relatability really does play like a big part in that kind of stuff. So I'm excited to dive deeper into this. But before we do, of course, we're going to start with roses and thorns. So Sam, what are your roses and thorns for the week?
Okay. Well, my thorn's really silly because it doesn't really have anything to do with this week. I mean, most of this week, I guess my thorn would just be that I've been having, like, a lot of headaches, which sucked. But currently, in this moment, I'm really hungry. And I just did not anticipate that happening to me. But we also, like, don't ever usually record in the morning. And so this is new. So that's definitely why I feel that way. So yeah. Oh, my rose. I was about to forget to do my rose. Okay, so last
night,
it's
the morning for sure.
Yeah, it is the morning. Last night I saw the new Mean Girls movie and it was so good. I really loved it. There was so many good updates they made to it. Just like, but also like staying so true to the like plot. Also, the people next to us came into it definitely not knowing it was a musical, because the lady next to Zeke was like, my God, what did they do to this movie? And I was like, well, little do you know, this has been a thing for years, but okay.
Little do you know, also, this is actually the Broadway musical.
Yes.
As a movie.
And like, it was still so exactly the same for the plot. So I was like, I just don't know what she's getting at. There were some good cameos, some good switches to include like social media and like more modern day like phones and stuff, which usually I think would make me cringe, but for the sake of this, it made sense. Cause I'm like, you can't show relatability. You can't like do a high school movie right now and like expect like high schoolers, middle schoolers, whatever, to like it or get it now if you make it like so like old technology. Like they would just be so confused. So it definitely just made it more relatable, and it was very funny. I loved it.
Oh my gosh, I want to see it so bad. My thorn is that it is so early. Yeah. It's like 7:30 in the morning for me, and if you don't know, I usually wake up around like 8:30 or 9, which is really bad. I've been trying to change it. Maybe this will be my change, where I wake up early. Oh, frick. I have to be up early tomorrow, too. Oh my gosh. Sorry. I'm just thinking about these things now. Oh, Lord have mercy. Okay. Anyways, it's fine. My rose. So I wrote down my rose and thorns, like, six. What does it say? 6:55. And then Sam did hers at 6:59. She goes, LOL. My rose is that I had a good week. Honestly, I was like, I don't know what to put, so I'll just put good week. But I was thinking about it a little bit more, and I've read every single day this year so far. So I'm
Wow.
trying to keep that up,
I
keep my mind
need to get like that.
smart. But yeah, Thorn, it's so early.
Oh my gosh, I feel so bad.
No, literally don't. This is the only time I have available today.
Issa's Saturday is jam-packed.
Oh yeah, and then also we're recording this on the day that it's supposed to come out because our weeks were busy. Couldn't
Yeah.
make our usual recording time work, so we're making the morning time work.
Yeah.
Live, laugh, love,
Chaos.
different time zones.
Yeah, no, actually. All right. Well, I guess we'll just roll right into the topic so that we can talk about all the things we want to talk about with this. So, a little bit like we said, like obviously like our overarching question here is, does something have to be relatable for us to like it? And just thinking about how when we relate to things, how that impacts how much we like it. Because I don't know, we kind of think it's an obvious fact that if we relate to something, it will find a special place in our heart or give us like a bigger push or like motivation or reason to love it. That's
Yeah,
just a fact.
but also, I was thinking about it. I was like, or in some cases, like really hate something.
Oh, yeah. No, that's true.
Like COVID being in everything, all the shows, all the books. I'm
Yeah,
like,
no,
no,
I
I'm over
don't
this.
want to see
Stop talking
that.
about it.
Yeah. No, honestly, okay, that's a great point because that played a big role in me lowering my rating for romantic comedy because I did really enjoy that book, but then I thought about it too much and the amount that COVID was in there just like made me, it just like took me out of the like reading zone and made me not like it as much.
Yeah, I mean, that's totally fair, but that's really funny because, like, I actually didn't mind it in that just because of the structure of the book and the way that it was set up and, like, the story was told. So I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. And also, like, the fact that it was kind of, like, integral to the storyline
Right.
and, like,
It really
this
was.
second half or whatever it was, last third.
Yes.
Last two
Love
thirds. I don't
that.
even remember. But yeah. Usually I hate it. Oh my gosh. Like the one book by when we went to Barnes in Denver and then we saw this book by Stephen King. And then
Oh, yep.
we were looking at the back cover and like reading it or like the inside flap or whatever. And reading the blurb and it said, yeah, because of COVID. And we're like, absolutely not. Put it down.
Like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm trying to get into some escapism here. Like, I want to, like, in everything I read, I want COVID to, like, not have happened. Unless I'm, like, reading some nonfiction, you know, that's fine. Like, a memoir, and we're gonna talk about it, let's go. But,
Actually, no, don't include that part of your life.
right. Like, take that out.
Yeah, and like it was in all of the TV shows, which like I get it, you're shut down, you can't, do your job, act or whatever for months, so what's the easiest storyline to do? COVID. Woohoo. And like in shows like Grey's Anatomy, I get it, but also I hated it. I was like, no, don't do this. Just skip it. Or like The Resident, they had something similar to COVID, but it actually came out before COVID happened, I think. And then it's like, ooh, awkward. But then they like skip to the future. And it's like, that's fine. It's fine. Like, I don't know. Skip past it. You can mention it if you really want to,
Right.
but like, we don't need that. Everyone was so over it. We're like, no, we watch shows, we read books, we do all these things to get away from the real world, so don't bring freaking COVID into it. Anyway, sorry. Issa's COVID rant is over.
No, that's such a good point. I didn't even think about that. Like, yeah, if something is like too relatable, also it could make us hate it. Because it could also be like maybe it's a topic that is relatable or something's relatable, but then you also don't think it's like portrayed well. Like, so you're like, ooh, I did think I was gonna love this because I thought I was gonna relate to it a lot, but then I felt like it just like wasn't actually like portrayed accurately or like providing good representation of this. So,
Yeah, that's a really good point too.
yeah. Dang. Well, my very first thought I had about this when I was thinking about relatability was just like influencers in general. And I wrote down like skyrocketing to unrelatability just because I feel like so many influencers just like get famous and like we put them on this path to fame because everybody like in their like audience is just like, oh my gosh, I love this person, they're so relatable, follow them, whatever, obsessed with their content, whatnot. And you think they're just so relatable, they seem so normal. I feel like we see that a lot with like every new big influencer that becomes like the next big thing. Everyone's like, they're just so relatable, perfect. And then like it doesn't take long for them to become like unrelatable, or I don't think they're necessarily becoming unrelatable. I just think people then are like, oh, you've changed and they're not relatable anymore because, surprise, surprise, we built them this huge following. So now they have giant brand deals, lots of money. They make new friends that are famous. They move away from their hometown. Like, they just become like an LA influencer. And sometimes they even like exceed the limit of being an influencer and are a straight up celebrity, like Emma Chamberlain. Like, I mean, it's been a long time since she like got famous, but like now I think she has solidified her place so much as just being a celebrity rather than an influencer. So it's just interesting to think about. Like, people get really mad about when things like this happen, but also we're the ones who make it happen for them.
Yeah, I know. I actually saw maybe not an article, but like a post or something, or I don't remember exactly what it was, but I saw something the other day about Emma Chamberlain. It was like, I don't know, people basically just like that whole thing. Like, people are like so upset, like, oh, she's changed so much, and like, she's not doing what she used to do, or like, her content is so different now. But also, she's what, like, a whole like 7, 8 years older than she was when she first started posting.
Yeah,
So
she was like
obviously, her stuff isn't going to be
16.
the same as like what it was before. And also, yeah, she has kind of stepped. I mean, yes, she's still an influencer, but she stepped in more into like celebrity realm than just like Instagram, TikTok, YouTube influencer realm. And I mean, relationship with role model, like that was like one of the biggest
Team.
relationships in the media. And then they broke up. I remember we were talking about them in Denver and Nebraska and stuff, and then we see Emma Chamberlain and role model break up. I was like, no way.
Yeah, that was wild.
Oh my gosh, that was wild. But anyways, yeah, like she's, again, like you said, has solidified herself in more in like celebrity world and stuff, and people are mad about it. It's like, hello, you're the one
Yeah,
who like
you were
gave her
obsessed
this
with her.
opportunity.
Yes, you put the like, you gave these influencers who become celebrities like the power, like Alex Earl, or like, you know, Charli D'Amelio. Like, you gave all these people the power to like be celebrities over being an influencer, really. Or like, also, sometimes it's like, well, good for them too, because like, wouldn't you love that too? Or like, there's always, it's nice to also have new celebrities sometimes. Like, I was thinking about that. I was like, what are we gonna do? Just have the same like five people, or like, just because they got famous in more of this like normal sense of being like a regular person posting content on the internet and being discovered, is that different from like somebody who's like becomes an actor when they're young, like child actors or like people just getting discovered at a young age, or like a Billie Eilish, like having her music be popular when she's only like 16.
Yeah, I mean, like, and at this point, we should just call Justin Bieber an influencer because that's how he was discovered.
Right, YouTube.
From posting. Like,
literally.
It's not. The influencer to celebrity pipeline is not something that's new. It only feels new because social media is so new. But before we had social media, like, before we had, like, all these other things, like, there were other forms of, like, influencing and stuff. And, like, basic, I don't know. I mean, can I think of anything specific now? No. It's too early for that. But, like, I don't know. People will find a way to have a following, whether they have social media or not. And, like, before the age of social media, guess what people had to do? They had to find a way to have a following. And then, like, that influences others. And then, obviously, like, the more influence you have, the more fans you have, and then the more, you know, straight to celebrity land.
Right. I also just think, like, it also just came with how, like, normalized we made, like, being an influencer, like, a career, too. Mm-hmm. Because, like, obviously then influencers are going to be the new celebrity. They're going to almost have more influencing power than celebrities had because they are seen as having a more attainable life than
the regular celebrity. They're just normal people.
Yes. Like, that's, like, the whole appeal of, like, an influencer is you realize, oh, maybe, like, maybe this whole marketing thing was wrong with, like, trying to get celebrity endorsements was hard because nobody actually ever saw these celebrities as relatable. But now influencers have so much power as truly being an influencer because they do appeal to an audience as being relatable. So that's why, you know, like, companies want to work with influencers more than they want to work with the big, like, celebrities. It just makes sense.
Yeah. I also like, I really like your note that you put on here. Food for thought. If we, like, if you picture this, close your eyes. Don't fall asleep. No, but like, if you suddenly got rich and famous, like, would you start living your life differently and posting differently? Honestly, probably. As much as I would want to say, no, wouldn't get to me. Like, I probably would. Like, even with Likewise, for example, are we rich and famous? No.
Absolutely not.
But do we have a bigger following today than we did this time last year? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Like, it's twice the size, I think. Yeah. Like, insanity. Anyways, but, like, there's a difference in the way we post as Likewise and also as individuals. Is that because we're getting more comfortable with the Likewise brand? Is it because we're getting more comfortable with being creatives? Is it because we're growing as individuals? Probably yes to all three, but is it because we have a bigger following and so we're trying to figure out, like, what not only suits the brand but also, like, what consumers like? Yes, like, that is also a part of it. And so I think it's important to think about that too, and, like, no, you don't have to be, like, suddenly rich and famous. You don't have to suddenly be an influencer, but as soon as anyone, like, as soon as we get any sort of following, as soon as we get any sort of people, like, looking to us for an example, we're going to be more cognizant, we're going to be more aware of, like, what we're doing, what we're posting. And, you know, sometimes that goes the other way. Instead of being more like, oh, I need to be a good example for this, or like, oh, I want to post this and, like, show people that this is okay, or like, be I don't know, I want to live my best life and I want people to see it. Like, sometimes it goes the opposite way and they're like, oh, I'm gonna be more, like, risque. Oh, I'm gonna be more dangerous. Oh, I'm gonna take this all the way to the line and see if I can, like, dip my toes past the line. And if I can, then I'm just gonna dive right in, like, way past the line. And all the things, I'm like, whoa, let's just, it's okay to take baby steps. Like, yeah, it's totally fine to, like, I guess take those big risks on, you know, either side, but it's also okay to take baby steps.
No, true. I kind of, like, that made me think of, in the wise words of Mr. Shawn Mendes, there's nothing holding me back. Like, if you get rich and famous, like, you would be for real right now. Think about it. Like, you suddenly, you have the visibility and the buying power to have the exact, or not exact, but, like, to have the life you want, or to buy the things you couldn't buy before. like, maybe budgeting's out the window now. Maybe you're not somebody who wants to buy, like, fancy cars, designer clothes, anything, but all of a sudden, like, you're not, like, limiting yourself. You're not, you don't really have, like, this need to do that. Or, like, maybe, like, you can finally buy a house, or you're able to buy your family a house, or, like, mm-hmm. you're able to achieve things that, like, maybe you felt you couldn't before. And you also then now, like, if you're, like, rich and famous in that way, like, you kind of weirdly have, like, an obligation to post about it. Like, you don't, but you do, because, like, you need to keep your audience engaged and, like, keep that as your career. So it's hard to think about, obviously, because we are not in that position. But, like, I know for a fact, like, if I suddenly became as big as an influencer, like an Alex Earl, an Emma Chamberlain, something, of course my life is gonna, like, change and look different. And I think I'd be the same person, but obviously you'd gain a lot of confidence, like, mm-hmm. to just, like, post the way you want and all this stuff. Kind of, like, there's a little less fear there, because, like, now I'm not an influencer, so it's like I'm hoping people like my content. And then also thinking about the fact that people who know me in real life are seeing it. Obviously, if you're a big celebrity, definitely the people in your life are going to see it. But they can say what they want and it doesn't matter, because you have this huge, like, following that is not them. Like, you found your target audience and that's really good for you. So, but yeah, that's just, at the end of the day, you have that, like, newfound visibility and money. So it would be, like, I don't know, I feel like people would actually be more mad at you if you didn't do anything with it. Like, if you didn't, like, just try to achieve your goals and also, like, maybe help people, like, do some good with your money too. But that's what I think.
Yeah, I agree. I just, it's hard to say definitively, like, what we would or wouldn't do if we did get present with that sort of opportunity, you know. And, like, yes, there are some super humble millionaires. Yes, there are some super humble people who, like, have lots of influence and who, like, they just, like, live in a humble, rooted lifestyle, right? And that's totally fine. That's totally great. That's amazing. That's what I would love to believe I would do. But at the end of the day, like, I probably wouldn't. I'd probably be more like, oh, because, like, first thing that most people say, like, when they find, like, when they encounter a lot of money, they're like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna buy my parents a house. Mm-hmm. I mean, which is great, I love that. But it's so funny, because it's like, okay, you're not, like, yes, that's great, yes, provide for your parents because they provided for you, and, like, giving back to them is, like, the least we could do, you know, if you were raised in, like, good house. Anyways, but it's also like, that's the first thought, which is, you know, again, great, but there's not really thought about, like, investing or, like, saving or, like, holding it for the future or, like, you know. And I think that's where a lot of people kind of go, maybe not wrong, but they just don't really think about financial stability, because it's, like, the first time that they have, like, a lot of money, you know. And, like, mm-hmm. like, for example, your first paycheck, your first big paycheck, you're like, oh my gosh, I need to do something crazy with this. Like, I've, like, this is the first time I've ever seen this much money, and this is the first time that I've ever had this much money in my bank account. I need to do something with it. It's like, no, actually, let's just hold off. Let's keep this. Let's earn some interest on it. Let's do something. And so, I don't know, just another thought. I didn't really have to do with anything. I don't really know why I said it.
No, it's good. It's a good thought. It actually has me thinking about, like, something that's was currently, like, happening around Emma Chamberlain, was that she was on a show. Oh my gosh, I can't remember who she was interviewing with, but she said that she genuinely does not know how much money she has. She has, like, processes in place to where, like, it kind of, like, checks and balances type thing, where, like, she has a very secure, like, trustworthy thing set up with, like, the people who I'm assuming, like, help her with her finances, where she has not looked at her bank account, she thinks, in maybe 5 years, or, like, I could be so wrong if that's not the number she used, but she was saying, like, she genuinely does not look, does not know how much money she has, but there's systems in place to, like, make sure that she is, like, doing okay. Which I think is very interesting, because at first I was like, that's wild, because obviously that's very not relatable to anybody ever, and, like, almost, and a lot of people got mad, as you would expect, because they're watching someone they want to, like, really like still, regardless of their relatability. But it just felt so, like, to a lot of people it felt very out of touch in a way, because, like, we are currently, I mean, definitely, I'm assuming most places are too, but in the United States, like, they're, a lot of people are not in a good economic place. Like, it's just, stuff is bad right now. And so it just felt like, I don't know, it felt weird, but also it's like, you want to be like, yes, that's good. And I would hope that, like, you would have systems in place to make sure you're not spending your money like crazy. I think that's part of what she was trying to get across, was that, like, she's not spending, like, money wildly, and she has the stuff to make sure that, like, her money's not just going out the window. But it did also seem like maybe you should also know, like, a little bit, yeah, about what money you have, because also you are making the decisions of spending it. So it's like, if you don't know how much you have, like, oh, it's just, it's intriguing. It's like, oh, you could, like, not know that you're a billionaire. Like, it's like, are you, then what else are you doing with your money? Like, do you know where, is it invested in places? Like, how much do you know about it? Are you, like, donating with it? Are you, you know, not that you, like, have mm-hmm. to, but, like, if you're someone who also is just kind of, like, willy-nilly, I don't care to know how much money I have, because I know I'm fine. Maybe you should think about that. I don't know. I thought it was very interesting, but people were livid on the internet over that. Which, I mean, I think people had, you know, obviously the right to feel whatever way they wanted to about it. But I also do think, like, when we watch people, like, in these interviews, we do also have to take what they say with a grain of salt, because they're also probably, like, nervous, or, you know, talking to people they don't usually talk to, mm-hmm. and maybe what they say doesn't come across exactly how they meant it either. She probably wasn't, yeah, she wasn't trying to flex that she's rich and doesn't need to know how much money she has, but it just kind of came across that way.
Yeah, true. Oh, sorry, I thought I had something. Absolutely nothing.
No, you're good.
Something else that we've seen in at least the last couple of years, I feel like, especially since COVID, but is, you know, just like the, I don't know, like, influencers just showing their realities more, you know, and, like, just, I don't know, being more raw and vulnerable with their content, and, you know, saying, like, social media is just a highlight reel, and which, you know, like, I laugh, but, like, it's so true. And, like, I thought about it, I'm like, do I want to see sad stuff on the timeline? No. Don't want to see, like, sad stuff on the feed? Absolutely not. But, like, I do appreciate that people post that kind of stuff, and so, like, it makes me not feel better, like, absolutely not, but it's good to have, like, community in things like that, you know. And it's like, yeah, I want to post about all my woes, yeah, I want to post about, like, all these things, but I know that's not what people want to see. And so, like, I'll keep it with me and, like, my family and close friends and stuff, but, like, I'm not gonna just put it out for the world to see. But seeing influencers, like, actually do that, I feel like it started off with in such like, with the right heart, you know. But I feel like it's some influencers, I kind of see them post these things, and it's like, I don't know that they're posting it, like, more, like, for more than just to get, like, oh my gosh, wow, you go through this too, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, but I feel bad saying that, because I think everyone's like, everyone's life experiences, everyone's things, like, are so valid, and, like, feelings about things are, like, so valid and stuff. But then if it's something like, oh, like, I don't usually post about this, but my gerbil, I got a gerbil a couple weeks ago, as you know, and it died. It's like, and I'm just, like, so distraught right now, and blah, 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 blah. It lived a good life, little garbage rat 872, love you forever. And then people are like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry about your gerbil that was a couple weeks old and that you are so heartbroken by this. Like, oh my, I'm like, listen, again, feelings totally valid, but also, so I don't know. You can, I feel like you can just kind of tell, like, when people are posting things just to, like, seem relatable, when it's like, this is coming totally out of left field and, like, makes no sense, and it just didn't need to be there. It didn't need to be said.
Yeah. Like, I feel like there's, like, an aspect of, like, people who, like, post this vulnerable content a lot, and you can tell that it's, like, genuine, and they really have, like, it's, like, I don't know, helped them out a lot, helped their audience a lot. Like, they've just grown this community from them having more raw content. But then there's also people who you see and you're like, I don't feel like this is, like, coming with, like, very genuine intentions, or, like, this feels like maybe it's just, like, a pull to maintain relatability. Because mm-hmm. I think that when this all started and people are like, oh yeah, we can open up and, like, talk about the real stuff and, like, show our insert pics of me crying all week, like, type things, like, when people started doing that, I think it was almost, it felt like it was in response to, like, the newer, younger influencers who got popular from being so relatable and always showing themselves, like, so raw and vulnerable, that then all the, like, older, like, lifestyle influencers, beauty gurus, whatever, who mm-hmm. had always existed in a space where, like, you did not do that. It was very curated, edited, everything. They saw that, like, that's what they needed to do to stay relevant, and they had to change their content and everything. It was no longer like, I can only do that on my vlog channel, or I could only, you know, whatever. It was like, now I have to do that to maintain mm-hmm. like my relevancy and be relatable. And some people have done it very genuinely. Like, I think of, like Nikki and Gabby. They, like, obviously have been on YouTube for so long. They had very, like, curated content together, but always had their separate vlog channels. And I think they used to, like, honestly be raw and vulnerable in their videos before it kind of felt like people were starting to pull at that. But then, like, as they've grown up, they're in their, like, mid late 20s now, and they have, like, fully, both of them, like, in their own videos, like, really opened up and had this vulnerability, but it has been so genuine. And so, like, there's a lot of content creators that I'm like, okay, yeah, you can see the people from that older YouTube group who have done it in a genuine way. But then there's also people who are like, literally, I feel like you are trying to mm-hmm. like, keep people interested in you because you see that they're more interested in this content from other newer people. But yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, and I think that's so funny because it's like, no, actually, I don't need that from every single person I watch or every single person mm-hmm. I consume media from. It's like, yeah, that's great that this person does it. It's great that I follow this person because they're so raw and real. But I also followed you because
I just liked
your curated content. I liked what you did. I liked that you didn't have to do that to... Okay, that sounds so bad, that you didn't have to do that. Like, you didn't have to be raw and real. Oh my gosh, you don't have to be raw and real. No, like, I like that you're able to, like, find your niche. I like that you were able to, you know, do whatever you're doing and not, it's okay for you to not post your whole life on the internet. It's okay for you to not, like, post every single little bad thing that happens. But yeah, I like your point of, you know, like, some influencers, some, like, YouTube staples, they did go about it in, like, a really genuine way, and, like, it felt so natural. It felt, like, very organic. But then it's the ones where it's like, whoa, all of a sudden, like, you're just I mean, I guess, like, yeah, it does take it just one new post, one new video to, like, change the direction of your content. But it's like, whoa, there's just a crying video now.
Literally.
But okay.
Because also, like, some people have also had the experience of, like, when you open up and create raw and vulnerable content, you're also... you're putting it out there in a way that it feels like you're opening the door for people to then critique your personal life. Like,
mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't believe that. Like, I don't think people should, I mean, they can obviously comments, they can say whatever they want, but it's like, you shouldn't make these negative comments on people's personal lives, but people feel like they are like enabled to when you put like publicize certain things. So I think about like, we've talked about it in older things, but I'm just thinking about how like Haley Pham, I feel like when she, her content was always like very relatable to me, like when I watched her when I was younger, like dance stuff, whatever, and then like she kind of got some more virality with her like shaving videos and whatnot. Those were so funny.
Yeah,
but then also,
my dad, don't watch this,
right? She was so young. I mean, she still is so young. But, like, with a lot of those videos, she was so young. And then especially, like, when she started dating Ryan. And then, like, they were engaged. And they had their, like, channel together documenting their, like, process of planning stuff for their wedding. And it just went so downhill because people just had so many negative things to say. And so it kind of like, so then you get this pull of like somebody tries to be very open and showing so much of their personal life, but then in turn gets like canceled. So then they bounce back from it and maybe they have like a very raw video, like reacting to and like trying to like apologize and take accountability or whatever. And then from that point forward, like maybe they realize and reevaluate. And I think of Haley now, like she does still have a level of like rawness and relatability in some of her content, like vlogs and things. Like she does show a lot of kind of what her real life looks like. But also I do think she has a very healthy boundary of like privacy up around her life now and has like realized that like, oh, I can just like make the cool content, the cool videos I like to make, that feels like nicely produced and all the stuff that I really like that about her videos. I like the production value in it, but I think like she's a good example of somebody who like they have done that, but also maybe it's like, I don't know, then got like perceived not in the best way. And then like, you don't have to, I don't know, you don't have to have that in your content in an extreme way. Like, maybe, like, going back to just making more, like, regular content that isn't divulging your whole life.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with it all. Well, with what you said.
Love that. Okay, this point's kind of just silly. We don't have to spend a lot of time on it. It just came to my brain. Nepo babies. Okay. In the last, like, 2 years, the second people realized someone was a Nepo baby, they felt the need to, like, say to people that, like, you can't be a fan of them or, like, you can't like them or, like, what they're doing being famous also because they're a Nepo baby. Like, people finding out like Gracie Abrams' dad is JJ Abrams, like all this stuff, like they're like, oh my gosh, you can't like her music.
Maude Apatow.
Yes, like you can't like these people or whatever because they're Nepo babies, so they got it handed to them, like they're not relatable because they didn't have to quote unquote work for their career like other people would. So like it just like shows people want to support people like who show them that it's possible for like also quote-unquote nobody like them. Like that's why people get influencers so famous, because they're like, oh, finally another normal person like that I'm gonna get famous and like watch them be successful and like them because I could see myself being able to do the same thing. But the second I find out a music artist I like has a famous parent, I'm gonna be mad because and not like their music anymore because they just got a record deal type of thing. I'm like, what? They could be talented, and have good music. Like, I'm very sorry that, like, you feel like something's been taken away from you, or like an opportunity is taken away from you by the fact that they just had the, like, buying power to make their career happen.
Yeah. Personally, I love Nepo babies.
I love Nepo babies.
You, not you personally, you in general, you cannot tell me. Like, I will never believe a single person who ever says that they don't wish that they were a Nepo baby. Genuinely, I feel like I can make a statement on behalf of, like, literally every single person who has ever lived that they wish that they were a Nepo baby. We all wish we were Nepo babies. We all want to be able to accomplish our hopes and dreams of something, whether it's being a writer, whether it's being an athlete, whether it's being an actor, whether it's being a singer, a podcaster, a whatever, a zoologist. Literally, you cannot tell me that you don't like Robert and Bindi Irwin. I'm sorry. Like, hello?
Right.
Nepo babies. I can't think of any other good ones right now that are, like, you wouldn't think of them as Nepo babies.
Miley Cyrus? Come on.
Yeah, Miley Cyrus, Noah Cyrus, the whole Cyrus family, Brenda Song and Macaulay Culkin's sons. I mean, but, like, they're right. Babies, but still. It's like, no, we all want a leg up. People generally want their parents to help them out. People generally want, like, to not have to, I mean, personally, like, I wish I was a Nepo baby, then I could have had everything handed to me. And not, okay, that sounds really bad. But, like, if I was talented, if I was, like, if I had things that I could, like, do things with, or, like, if my parents had, like, the resources and the money to, like, have helped me out with things, like, gotten me onto, like, better soccer teams, or, like, gotten me more practices, or, like, better coaches. And this is not to say that I didn't like any of my coaches or my soccer teams or anything. Like, absolutely loved and adored them. But, like, if I were a Nepo baby, maybe we could have had other resources. Maybe I could have had a different coach. Maybe I could have gone pro, guys. who knows? Not me, because I'm not a Nepo baby, unfortunately. But also, I love my parents, so it's okay. But, like, I feel like our dreams, one, to be a Nepo baby. But that can only happen if your parents, like, are, I don't know. Two, if you can't be a Nepo baby, you want to be successful, you want to have a family, what are your children going to be if you and your partner are successful? They're going to be Nepo babies. So let's just get over this whole, oh my gosh, I'm so much better than you because I made it on my own instead of having mommy and daddy's help. So what? Having mommy and daddy's help is fine. Like, let's get over that. Like, oh my gosh, I love Nepo babies. I'll never stop loving them.
Also, like, bringing it back to Gracie Abrams again, like, she's not, like, a Nepo baby where, like, we watched her and knew of her whole life, and, like, it felt like it was, like, forced on us for her to be famous. Like, people mm-hmm. got upset when they found out years into her, like, being a music artist that, like, her dad is a, you know, big-time movie director, producer, everything. So, like, okay, yeah. Guys. Like, just think about it with some context. It's just so interesting.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And Jaden and Willow Smith. And right. Rumor Willis. And literally all the celebrities Everyone. Who have children. Like, just get over yourself if you're mad at them. Like, sorry, but I'm absolutely not sorry about that. Like, right, at the get end of the over day, like, yourself.
Like, these people probably... Like, these people also just love their parents. Like, and it is normal to them that these people are their parents.
Yeah. If you have a good relationship with your parents, you cannot tell me, like, I will not believe you if like, in the situation, like, your parents, they come into, like, a large sum of money, they come into, like, some sort of thing, and they're like, oh my gosh, child, we want to help you out because we love you so much. You cannot tell me, like, I will not believe you if you say, no, I want to do this all by myself. Like, no. I can understand if you don't have a good relationship with your parents, but if you have a good relationship with your parents, I do not believe it. Sorry. So many rants today for me, so maybe that's just what the morning does to me.
It's just fiery topics.
And it's so funny because you're like, we don't have to spend super long on this.
But then it was like, no, we're passionate about this.
We likewise love Nepo babies.
Nope. For real.
That'll be on some merch.
All right. Well, we've talked a little bit about just like this in general, but just obviously this comes down to all media. So like we find relatability of something playing a role in how much we like it with all media, books, shows, movies, music, podcasts, just all of it. And so at the end of the day, like, I do really think everything is so subjective because with all these types of media, like, people are consuming it for different reasons. Just like the idea of people reading for different reasons. Like, maybe you really only read for escapism, so you don't care about relatability. Or you're someone who, like, really only loves books when you find them so relatable. And both of those things are completely okay. So I'm not going to shame somebody for saying they don't like something because it wasn't relatable. But also, half the things I like to consume, I don't really relate to a lot, but I still really enjoy. Or, like, you can relate to something on such a small level. Like, if I don't relate to the plot of something at all, but I relate to, like, traits or things I see in characters here and there, I enjoy that even when I don't relate to anything else in a story.
Honestly, I kind of like it more when I relate to the characters than the plot,
because the circumstance.
I can see myself here. Because then it like makes the escapism better, because it's like, oh my gosh, that's actually me.
I'm watching myself be this character. People are like, who did you fan cast in your head for this character? Oh, sorry, I was picturing them as me the whole time.
It was actually me. Oh my gosh, actually, okay, never mind. I'm not gonna talk about that. That's embarrassing. Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting because like I said at the beginning of the episode, I've been kind of thinking about this past week that we've had this topic, and I'm like, do I really only like things if they're relatable? Because so many of like my reviews for books are that like, oh, I didn't like really relate, so blah 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 blah, or oh my gosh, I just see myself as this person, or like this situation is so relatable for me and like I bawled my eyes out, or like this topic like hits close to home, so blah 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 blah, so good, 5 stars, 6 stars, like best thing ever. And then I'm like, shoot, where are the ones that like I loved but I was like, not me.
Right.
And so like, dang, I don't know, like, but I think it's so much easier to for me to like watch shows or movies that like I don't really relate to, because it's like, no, like that's something going on, instead of like a book where I have to actually like put in work,
right?
Like I have to use my brain, I have to use my eyes and read and like comprehend and like understand what's going on. Whereas like a movie, honestly, I can just kind of numb myself and be like, do I know what's going on? No, but is this something to do where I don't have to use my brain? Yeah. So I think it's just interesting. But like podcasts, for example, it honestly is really hard for me to listen to podcasts that I don't relate to, because I'm like, yes, this is great, this is wonderful information, but am I listening like just to give you listens, which, you know, great, love that, but I kind of don't want to spend my time on something that I'm not getting anything out of. And if I can't relate to a podcast or like a host or topic or whatever, then it's really hard for me to like actually sit through it and try to take it in and like try to listen and understand.
No, I feel that with like everything. Like it's so easy with like shows and movies to not relate, or like I still feel like you might find like little things in like characters they don't think of that you're like, oh yeah, that's relatable or whatever. But like with like shows and movies, it's so like entertainment value driven, where it's like, it's just funny, or like maybe you think the people are hot, or like, I don't know. There's so many things to think about with shows and movies where you're like, you're watching, it's just keeping you entertained, and relatability might be a very small factor in something that's going to keep you entertained for a show and movie. Cause like, it just needs to be like action packed, exciting, like good acting, like it just more hey, believable it doesn't always have over to be being good relatable. Acting. Yeah, true.
Like Twilight.
Right.
But hey, I was a teenager. They were all teenagers at one point. Relatable.
Relatable. They're in Washington. Relatable.
So relatable. Oh my god.
Boyfriend is a vampire? Not relatable.
Very relatable. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, it's just, it's so funny. It's like, I never realized that, like, the different types of media I consume could be so vastly different in
like
terms
I have different
of me
scales enjoying it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So intriguing. Or, like, watching sports. Some sports are not relatable when you're watching them, right? Like I'll be
I
watching...
I feel like most aren't.
Right, like, most aren't. I mean, like, so, like, watching, like, the sport you played might be kind of relatable, but also not because you're, like, I never played professionally or whatever. But, like, you at least have, like, knowledge about it or, like, it's exciting to you because you, like, have a tie to it or something. Now, like, I think about that's why, like, when I watch football and stuff, I'm a sucker for, like, the stories. Like, things that, like, get me really interested about, like, a player. Like, even if I don't relate to it, but it's just, like, it humanizes like stuff a little bit more, like when you know more about them or like some like heartwarming wholesome things, but it's still not relatable to me. It's just something fun to think about.
That's so funny that that's what got you interested in football, because for me what got me interested in football were the CFP rankings.
Oh yeah.
And fantasy. I'm competitive.
No, mine was like
relatable.
watching the draft. I mean, okay, I was into the playoffs last year, but watching the draft was really exciting because, like, then I got so invested in, like, Bryce Young and CJ Stroud being childhood best friends and then being the number one and two pick in the draft.
Oh, yeah.
That was just so wholesome to me. And then, like, now I just love CJ Stroud.
Yeah, everyone loves him.
It's just so funny. Like, there's, like, things, or, like, on the Browns, like, David Njoku had, like, his terrible accident where he got like horrifically burned this year in the middle of the season, and then he like got like skin stuff like treatment, and he went back out not like even that long after his like burns were starting to heal. He went and played a game with like a whole mask over like a whole sleeve thing over his face to protect his burns, but like you know it still hurts so bad to like play
sweat.
Your sport with like no skin or like
yeah.
that type of healing to happen. So it's just like things that draw you in, or like, you know, Damar Hamlin, like all these things that like are
yeah.
big emotional things happening in sports. Like people get really invested in that.
Or Isaac Rochelle being married to Allison Cooch.
Right.
And their baby, who's my twin.
Yes. Relatable.
Oh my God. Yeah,
that's my birthday. Relatable.
Yeah, I think it's so funny. Like honestly, it's so much like even just finding like the small things like that are relatable. It's like, oh, now I can enjoy it so much more. Like American football, for example. I'm like, do I know anything? No. Did I choose the Chargers to be one of my favorite teams because I like their helmets? Yes.
I love that.
Oh my gosh. It's just, yeah, it's just so funny.
But yeah, I guess I don't really have a clear answer to anything besides it's just like fun to think about. Like, I think everybody should think about like how much they're like how they're rating things. Like, I think about books, especially. Like, are you really strict with your rankings because you're considering relatability to be like the biggest factor and you enjoying something? Or like, are you relying more on the experience? Or like, you know, just like how important is relatability to you with everything you consume? And for me, I don't know, I think I decided like it is important, like with some things, like it does play a role in maybe some of the influencers I like to watch or makes me really love a book, but I also love so many things that are so not relatable to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it just, It depends. Sometimes I need it to be super relatable, sometimes I don't. And unfortunately, that's just the way the cookie crumbles sometimes.
Right.
So, yeah, that's all we have today. So, before we totally close out, time for Song of the Week. So fun. Sam, what is your relatable Song of the Week? JK. Doesn't have to be relatable. Maybe it does. Oh, we didn't
Lucky.
even talk about music. That's so funny.
I guess I thought about it and I was like, music is like, it is definitely something that usually for a lot of people is very relatable. Like, people love like heartbreak songs, sad songs, whatever. But also, a lot of music is just fun. Okay, my song of the week is You Against Yourself by Rule. So, good song. I remember like it was playing in my car off of like, I don't know, just like a daily mix or like some sort of thing I was listening to, my day list probably. And then I was just like really focused on driving because we've had bad weather or whatever. And so I'm like focused more on that, but I like could like really tell that whatever song was playing, I was really into it. And so I liked it. And it was this song. And like in the moment, I was like, wow, this is so good. And it just made me want to listen to him more because I haven't listened to like a lot of his newer music. I don't even know if this is newer, but I think it is. Because I'm just like familiar with some of his like older songs that I listen to a lot. But I'm like, man, like he's just so talented that I just like,
Yeah.
he just sounds so
He's
good.
so young, too.
Yes.
I know. I like Rule has been coming up on like my day list so much, or like my like daily playlists or whatever, like my daily mixes. I'm like, oh my gosh. And then I listen to him. I'm like, dang,
Like,
it's
why am
kind
I
of
not listening to you all
good.
the time?
Yeah, I know. Like, why don't I ever choose to put him on? Maybe I should. My song of the week is Letter to You by David McCready. I don't know. Found him on Instagram the other day, yesterday, 2 days ago, one of the days. And I don't know, it was good. Liked it.
I love that.
Yeah. Hope you guys found this
Related.
relatable. LOL. Oh, not to be cringy. But yeah, it would be super great if y'all could, follow us on whatever stream platform you use, and then also rate and review, because reviews are fun to read, rates are fun to see. And it also helps out the pod, which I don't know why people are saying out in 2024, like ins and outs is saying pod. No, I
No.
always say pod. Well, for likewise, literally, I only say pod in regards to likewise,
Right.
because
Super
others, I'm
in.
like, it's kind of weird, but it's fine. Yeah, so rate and review whatever stream platform you use. So fun. Follow us on Instagram at likewise_pod. It's so cute. A very curated feed. I don't know. Maybe we'll get raw and relatable, raw and
Right.
real soon on the feed. I don't know. Tell us what you want to see. Maybe you'll see it. Maybe you won't. We're the ones who control the
Right.
content. Oh my gosh. You know what? Even with how early this was for me, Sam, this was a lot of fun. And it was such a good conversation. And yeah, it was interesting thinking about it and like getting our thoughts on it, on the topic.
Yeah, no, I agree. So good.
Yeah. Well, Sam, I hope you have a really great rest of your day.
Thanks, Issa, and likewise to you all.
Bye.
Bye.